All right, we've got to run this morning. Esther chapter 6 this morning. I want to thank you for being here. Visitors, thank you for being here. Those that are online, thank you for tuning in this morning. And we pray that God would bless and feed your soul today. If you're here and you're not saved, if you're listening and you're not saved, please listen to the word of God and let the Lord speak to your heart. The Bible says in Esther chapter 3, everybody there say amen. It said the king, verse number 3, now as we're going to pick it up, I'm going to try to cut a lot out, I'm going to move quick. The king said, now this is after he had been told about what Mordecai had done for him. If you know the story we've been preaching back in Esther chapter 2, there were two men who had been conspiring to kill the king. And Mordecai overheard those two men and he went and reported that and they checked it out. And because of that, the king's life was spared. He didn't do anything with it. He was told it. He knew about it. He didn't do anything with it. But when you get up to chapter 6 and the Holy Ghost is beginning to work on him, and that, by the way, that's what it takes, amen. I was praying this morning, oh God, come. Oh God, come. Let me tell you something, whether you're preaching or whether you're testifying or whether you're playing the piano or no matter what you're doing or praying, God's got to come. Until the Holy Ghost gets in it, we're not doing anything. It don't amount to hill of beans. It's sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. But when God gets a hold of a man's mind and heart, then something begins to happen. And he got up that night, he couldn't sleep, and they read to him this story, what Mordecai had done, and what Mordecai had done was saved his life. And then he asked this question, verse number 3, and this is one of the most important questions you'll ever do. This actually is the verse and the place where this king is converted. The king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? I want to preach on that this morning. What have you and I done for what Jesus has done for us? What are we doing for what Jesus has done to us? Let me tell you, first of all, this morning, one of the most dangerous things, our flesh is so filthy, so nasty, so vile, so deceptive, that we will even do things in the name of Jesus to try to make ourselves look good. Boy, God has to purify our hearts and purify our motives and get us where it's what we've done for him, not for us. If you're not careful, we're even doing things, quote, for him that promotes us. And he said, what hath been done? Now watch, then the king's servants that ministered unto him said this, there's nothing done for him. Brother Mitchell, it wasn't by accident that you came this morning. I had no idea he was going to be here. That man actually, in literal illustration, preached my message today. Amen. He's just told you go out and do what you can for the Lord. Amen. Do the little things that you can for God. But I want to, the whole theme of this message is, what are you doing for Jesus Christ? What dignity, what honor have you given Jesus Christ for dying for your sins and paying for your sins? It was 5 years earlier, actually, this time, and we see in this story that there was a magnificent fall. We see the old Haman being hung by a 75-foot gallows. That was a long fall, amen? That was a long fall. Man, I'll tell you what, when they pulled the trip on that deal, it took a little bit. You might have could have drunk a soda while he was falling. But anyway, we see the magnificent fall. He put the devil out of business in his life, amen? And when a man gets saved, he'll put the devil out of business. And I always liked that scene. If I was a movie maker, I'd walk up, I'd have a movie where the old king was walking up to Mordecai just before he took the first step up on the gallows and said, wait just a second, give me that ring back. And he took that ring back and he'd get that ring of authority that he'd given the devil. And he said, I want that ring back. And he took that ring, but he didn't keep it on his finger. The Bible said he gave his ring to Mordecai. And when you get saved, you're going to take the ring off the devil's hand and you're going to bring it over to Jesus and say, now you, and that means I've got a new manager in my life. Amen. Let me tell you something. I'm not talking off the side of my head. When I got saved, they became a new manager of Reg Kelly's life. The devil wasn't running the show no longer. And I'll tell you this morning, if you're saved, the devil's not running your life. I'll tell you, God will run your life if you're saved. Let me tell you something. You've got a good manager when Jesus is managing your life. And not only a new management, but a new meaning. I had a brand new meaning for my life, and the king had a brand new meaning for his life. It wasn't all about him and what he could do and the parties and the balls and all the parades and all the women. It was about Mordecai now, and he had a new meaning. And if you're saved, you not only are under new management, but your life has new meaning. And your meaning then is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's exactly what Mordecai did. He said, bring that horse. Now, what's a horse do? You ever heard the term high horse? Well, you get up on a horse, you're higher. You know what he did? What's this? He exalted Mordecai. And when you and I get saved, What God wants us to do is exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said he put upon him the royal garment and put a crown upon his head. And we're to crown the Lord Jesus Christ, King of our life. Right now, not when we get to heaven. God wants you to crown the King this morning. King Jesus in your life. He wants you to put Christ upon the horse. And he wants to take you and parade Christ through your life. Lead Christ through your life. And exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, that's what you and I are made for. The Bible said, he said, what have I done for Jesus? I want to ask you, what he saved you. You say, Reggie, what has Jesus done for me? I know I'm just going to repeat some things, but let me tell you, first of all, he died in my place. He died in my place. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I'd be in hell right now, burning, screaming, weeping, wailing forever, never getting out of hell this morning. But Jesus died. I'm telling you what makes me tired, almost makes me mad at the church. We've been saved from hell. He did that. But we walk into church and we drag into church and we don't even show up. We saved us from hell. Have you forgot what he did for you? Do you realize what he did when he died on the cross? It wasn't just to put you in a social club. He saved you from hell. He saved you from hell. There are people in hell this morning would give anything to be sitting where you're sitting to have a chance to be saved. But we act like it's nothing. I'll tell you what, when he saw Christ was, he said, what have I done for him? What's been done for him? What dignity, what honor for the man who saved my life. He not only saved you from hell, and you better not forget that. I don't care how good you think you are. Apart from Christ, you're headed to hell. And hell is real. It is a place of fire, of flames, of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And anybody who's not saved is going to hell. The only way for you to escape hell is Christ died for you. My soul, God, help us to appreciate what he did for us. I was studying this message this week and I bowed and I said, Lord, what have I done for you? I'm not in hell. What have I done for you? God, you've been so good to me. What have I done for you? I'm asking you this morning. I'm asking you. I'm not preaching over your head, around your heart. I'm preaching straight to your heart. Every single person under the sound of my voice, I want to ask you this question. What have you done for him? If he saved you, what are you doing for him? You say, I'm just going on with my life. Quit it. Start living for Christ. Start exalting him. What dignity. He deserves the dignity. He deserves the honor. He deserves the exaltation. He deserves everything we are. We're redeemed. We're bought and purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. We do not belong to ourselves. Only one life is going to soon be passed. I cannot believe how fast life has passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. Every single thing I do apart from Jesus Christ's glory is junk, really, be honest with you. Yeah, I know we have to make a living. I know we got to pay the bills. I understand that. And I understand that God gives us things to enjoy. And I enjoy working. I wish I had more energy to work. That's one thing bothering me right now. I don't have the energy even to preach like I used to. But I'm telling you what, if anything we're doing is not for the glory of Jesus Christ, it will burn up at the judgment seat, blown out to hill of beans. If you're only driving a truck, doesn't mean anything. But if you're driving a truck for Jesus' sake, it means everything. He's an evangelist at large. He's a missionary at large, amen. Oh, what a wonderful life God's given him to scatter the seed clear across America, to hear reports back like that. That gives his life meaning. How many truckers can get up this morning and say, hey, God has given me purpose. God has given me meaning in my life by serving and exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care what you're driving, a nail, milking a cow, bailing the bale. Hey, if we're not doing it for Jesus' sake, we're missing the boat. What have we done for him? He died in our place. He shed his blood. Hey, I'm going to tell you something else. He gave me eternal life. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the gospel I preach. I preach the gospel of this Bible. And the gospel of this Bible produces eternal life. Not temporary life. Hey, those who are telling you you get saved and lose it, they are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ gives eternal life. That's Bible. And I'm telling you this morning, he gave me eternal life. It's not my performance that saves me. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's all Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's not Reg Kelly doing good. Living up to somebody's set of rules. Hey, I sin. I'd hate to admit to you how much I sin. It seems like all I am is sin. But he gave me eternal life, and I shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck me out of his hand. If my Father which gave them is greater than all. I'm telling you, listen to me, there's two gospels being preached in this world. One is a gospel that places your faith in Jesus Christ alone, with no merit of your own. And you receive eternal life. The other gospel is, oh, they preach the cross and preach the blood, but it's Jesus plus you. And let me tell you about you and me. All, not some, but all of our righteousness, us, plural, is as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Where's that put your hanging in there doing good, enduring business at? Bless God. Bless God. He gave me eternal life. I'm going to tell you right now, if I was to die in this pulpit and I was standing before God, I'd say, God, you said you gave me eternal life. What does eternal mean anyway? I'm going to tell you right now, he saved me to the uttermost. He saved me to the uttermost. But I'm telling you right now, what Jesus knew for me gave me eternal life. He saved me to the uttermost. You say, what does it mean to be saved to the uttermost? Come on, help me. What's it mean to be saved to the uttermost? If forever, I mean from the, some old preacher said, from the guttermost to the uttermost, amen. He saved me to the uttermost. That means this, he's going to take you all the way through. He ain't going to get you three quarters of the way across the creek and let you drown. Listen, I have a Savior. I am not, watch this, I am not my own Savior. He's my Savior. Oh, listen, he paid for my sin in full. He said, what he done for me? Paid for all my sin. Past, present, future, everything. They were all future when Jesus died for me. He paid all of my sin debt. I don't know any of it. Are you listening to me? He paid for all my sin. What dignity, what honor hath been done for him? I owe my life to Christ. Bless God, I don't owe my life to a denominational bunch of lingo. Amen. I owe it to Jesus, amen. He delivered me from hell. He paid my sin in full. He saved me to the uttermost. He gave me eternal life. He saved me. He separated me. He sanctified me. He redeemed me. He reconciled me. And he resurrected me. You say, you don't look like it. Yeah, he did. I'm quickened with Christ. Amen. There's a new man in Christ, risen with Jesus Christ, and he will bodily someday resurrect me. Hey, he made me God's son. What honor and dignity hath been done for him, Reggie? He made you a son of God. Woo! Hey, he made me an heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ. He gave me the church. Amen. He gave me every good gift. It's come from God. He gave me his Spirit. He produces the fruit of the Spirit. He made us in the church, accepted in the beloved. He's got, listen, what, you talk about what he's done for us. Did you know what he told his disciples? He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. Whoa! Are you talking about, the master builder, Jesus Christ said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let me tell you something. He's done something for me, amen. And I die, I've got a mansion. That's right. It's what the Bible said. I've got a mansion. What's he done for me? He's prepared a place for me. Then one of these days, if I die before Jesus comes and my old body's in the ground, the trumpet of God is going to sound. I'm coming back with Christ, my spirit and my soul, and God is going to resurrect my old crusty body out of that dust of the ground and my new glorified body fashioned like my Lord Jesus Christ's body. And let me tell you something. I was talking to my mother yesterday, and I said, Mom, you get your mind and you get your heart on these things of the promises of God. And we got to talking. Bless God, me and Mama had a church service. We got to talking about the new body and the glorified body, and we got to talking about what it'll be like. And I said, the best I can tell, Jesus was 33 years old. I said, that's about the prime of your life. I said, it'll be a body that'll never know sin. It'll never know pain. What hath he done for us? Woo! Mercy, sakes alive. Some of you just been eating too much ice cream or lollipops. You know, you think that's heaven. That ain't heaven, amen. I'm telling you, he's done everything for us. Amen. I'm here to worship him this morning. I'll tell you what, I'm glad. Yeah, that was, it's like the Holy Ghost said, back up there, Reggie. You're running through Esther too fast. Back up and read that passage of Scripture. What hath been done? What dignity, what honor hath been done? It's like God said, Reggie, what have you done for Jesus for all he's done for you? Amen. Boy, I get to thinking about that. And you know what? One of these days, the trumpet of God's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We're going to come up out of there. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll never be a time in eternity we'll not be with Jesus. Boy, I'll tell you what, bless God Almighty, that's good stuff. Amen. Hey, man, that's good stuff. I don't care if y'all are a bunch of Episcopalians. I'm going to enjoy my salvation. I'm going to enjoy what God did for me. I'm going to thank Him and praise Him for all that He's done for me. I'm going to give Him dignity, and I'm going to give Him honor, and I'm going to give Him praise for saving my wretched, hell-deserving soul, for giving me a home in heaven, a new glorified body, be with God forever, God's Son, and there enjoying it. Good land of living. You can't get that kind of deal. That's all a gift. Never worked for a dime of it. Amen and amen. A new body, a new home, a new place. Oh, you say, what did he do? Well, he defeated my enemies for me. Yeah. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. He defeated the devil. He defeated them all. He fought. The battle is the Lord's. Amen. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I hope you're having a good time. He gave me freedom. Hey, he gave this nation freedom. Oh, I tell you what, I get tickled with this crowd running around talking about our founders, bunch of heathen. That's a lie out of hell. Hey, a bunch of heathen don't say stuff like it, being endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. We hold these truths in. We hold these truths self-evident. You know what they're saying? Any old cuckoo bird ought to be able to tell there's a Creator. Hey, man, heathen don't say that. I'll tell you what, get out of that college. You stupid, let some college professor tell you that junk. Why don't you get some sense on your head? Good land of living. Thank God for the freedom that you have in this nation, for the Christian foundation. I know I'm a rough old hammer right now, but bless God Almighty, I'm tired of people tearing down our Constitution. I'm tired of people tearing down our Christian forefathers. I'm sick of the double talk all over this land. The liberals are claiming right now to be patriots for lying and being a devilish bunch. That beats anything I've ever seen in my life. You see, I'm telling you right now, the older I get, the meaner I'm the devil. I ain't going to be mean at you or anybody else out there. I'm going to tell you right now, if you can't stand the truth, I don't know what to do for you. I tell you right now, love rejoices in the truth. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you it does. And I'll tell you what else he gave us. He gave us wisdom and understanding. Now, boy, I'd like to preach. Did you know the Bible speaks of three things? Knowledge, then wisdom, then understanding. And I want to tell you something. You can know a lot of stuff. You can even have some wisdom. If you ain't got understanding, you got a problem. And I'm going to preach on that one of these days. The kids, let me tell you why we're losing our kids. We don't give them understanding. We don't tell them why. Understanding is when you learn why. You can say you ought to dress right, but until they come to understand it, they're going to do it. Well, listen to me. God gives us knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Oh, and God gives us fellowship. I want to tell you a little something about me. Paul said, I have you in my heart. Brother Dennis Souter just ain't another old boy. He's my brother in the Lord. I have fellowship with him in Christ. I don't want to be mean, but you can have your clubs. You can have your lodges. You can have your unions. You can have it all, but give me the church. Amen. Give me the church. It's the only one I want to belong to is the church. And I didn't join it. He put me in it. Amen. Amen. When I got saved, he put me in it. And I want to tell you a little something. There's a lot of truth laying right in there if you grab a hold of it. I want to tell you right now, we're missing commitment in this country. I never saw such apostasy in my life. We need some old-time, old-fashioned, stick-to-it commitment. I'll tell you what. That's my brother in Christ. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to abandon him or I'm not going to forsake him just over some piece of junk. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, God gave me fellowship. And I appreciate fellowship. He gave me access to the Father. I bow this morning and pray. Go straight into God through the veil, our Lord Jesus Christ. What have we done? What has he done for us? What have we done for him? What are we doing for him? He gave me of his Spirit. He gave us total and complete victory. I want you to think about this. He says we're going to rule and reign with him forever. Good grief alive. Happy day, happy day, happy day. Oh, I'll tell you what. I'm going to do some practicing for when the devil's thrown into the lake of fire forever. I'll tell you, talk about a shout in time and a glory hallelujah. Jump up and down, do cartwheels and walk the tops of the pews when he throws the devil in the lake of fire. Isn't that a wonderful thing? What hath he done for us? Now you say, Reggie, what can I do for him? He said, oh, hey, Ahasuerus, the king said, you know, that man done all that for me. He said, I want to know what can I do for him. Boy, that, in a sense, that's the stupidest question in the world. Because what can I do? But I want to give you a few things that God lets us do. Number one, you can repent of your sin. You can if you want to. It's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. You could repent. That'd be the first thing you ought to do to honor him and give him dignity. The second thing, you can believe on him personally. You can trust him and receive him as your Savior. That's all God wants from you today. He just wants you to just turn to him. In repentance of sin and just faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on that cross, shed his blood in your place for your sin. that he was buried to take away your sin and rose on the third day to give you eternal life. God wants you to believe on him personally, not generally speaking, personally, for your salvation. That's what God wants you to do. You say, how can I give dignity and honor to Jesus to get saved, get born again? If you're not, I beg of you right now in your heart, would you call upon the Lord right now, wherever you're at? And then you can know, as Christians, you know what we could do to give God some dignity and honor? We could start obeying him. We could start doing what the Bible says. You see, I want to tell you something. I don't have time to read all this morning. I'm trying to cut this thing short. But you'll find out that whenever Ahasuerus exalted Mordecai in his life, that many people became Jews. You see, it's not exalting us. It's not exalting this church. It's exalting him. And when he's lifted, watch this. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And you read your Bible there, you'll find out that when that old king got saved and he began to exalt Jesus Christ, there were people all over the kingdom got saved. And by the way, there was victory came to God's people. And boy, we may get into that tonight. But you know what? We could obey him. God says, do it. Why don't we just do it? Let me tell you another thing you could do. You could be faithful. Listen, I don't preach on this much, but I beg of you, be faithful to church services. Be faithful. Let everything else go, but put God first. Let everything else go. But I'll tell you something. My mama was telling me this morning about some folks who influenced her as a small girl. She told me about walking to church. She said, a little girl walking from my grandpa's place clear through the hollow, be about 2 miles up to church. And she said, I was a little girl walking down that gravel road and said a neighbor came by and that always went to church and said he had a horse. And he said he reached down. I think she might have been 5 or 6. I'm not sure. Mom can straighten me out on that. Mom, if you're listening and I'm lying, you can deal with me next week. But anyway, he reached down and grabbed her and pulled her up on that horse and let her ride home. And she said, oh, I thought that's like getting in a Cadillac. I didn't have to walk home. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, we can love the Lord. We can give ourselves. I want to ask you, is he your master today? Have you ever said, God, whatever you, I don't know what you want me to do, but whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. I told my mom, my mom said, yes, she didn't. Mom, I'm preaching on you. I know you're listening. don't tell stuff to me unless you want it preached about. My mom said, Reggie, I just don't know. I don't seem like I'm good for nothing. I just sat down here at the house. And she said, I'm having a hard time praying. And you know, you can have a hard time praying. But I said, Mama, I'll give you a verse. I said, are you doing what you could? She said, yeah. I said, that's what Jesus commended that lady for. Said she hath done what she could. I said, Mama, if you'll just pray for us down here in your chair, that'll mean everything to us. Just do what you can. I want to ask you this morning, are you doing what you can? Oh, listen, if we want to exalt him, we ought to love him and love the brethren. What dignity hath we given to serve him and serve other people, to honor him with our life, to live for him in this world, to stand for him against the enemy, to put him above everything, to exalt the truth, to in all of our ways acknowledge him. That's all he's asking us to do. We couldn't save ourselves and earn our salvation, but we can serve him. And I'm going to ask you this question this morning. What are you doing in your life personally? I say again, Brother Mitchell, I'm so thankful you came. You don't come across real fancy. Is that right?
Yeah.
I love it. Just as real as a silver dollar. I just love it. It's an old trucker just doing what he can for Jesus. I believe there's somewhere in your soul and the spirit, it may not have been in these words, but there come a day in your life when you said, you know what, I know Jesus died for me. I wonder what I could do for him. Old Brother Field said he's plowing on that, and he said, God would like to help you in your work. Would you like to help God in his work? That doesn't mean you've got to be a preacher, but it might. That doesn't mean you've got to be a missionary, but it might. But I'm telling you right now, there's nobody God saves but what can be used of God. And I want you to ask yourself this question this morning before we close. What honor and dignity hath been done unto him for what he did for me? What are you doing for Jesus today? I'm not up here beating you over the head. I want to tell you right now, the way I'm made, if my life wasn't spent somehow or another for Jesus Christ, I'd consider it to be a whole stupid waste. I've seen too much of it. I've seen the vanity of life. I've seen the vanity of riches and wealth and power and prestige and all that junk. And I'm telling you, it's getting narrower and narrower and narrower. Each year of my life, it's only what's done for Christ that amounts to anything. Let me say to you, it might be coming in here and duplicating the tape, and it might be coming in here and picking up a piece of paper, and it might be fixing up something outside. I don't know. It might be just say, I'm going to spend 30 minutes in prayer every day for God's people and for this nation. I don't know what God wants you to do. But let me tell you this, little is much when God is in it. Don't you let me or anybody else be the judge of what you're doing for Jesus' sake. I'm looking over there now, and I'd like the Holy Ghost just took a beam at Sister. Boy, this is terrible. At Sister Sandy Franken. Sandy, how long have you worked here at school? You can't remember.
You got any idea? Long time. Man asked me about the school the other day. I said, well, the lady that runs it was a student there the first year it was open. He said, are you kidding me? I said, no. She was a student the first year it opened. God's been so good. Amen. But I want to tell you, Sister Sandy, you're pretty quiet. You don't like nobody bragging on you. You don't like me talking about you, right? I finally got her to agree. But Sister Sandy, let me tell you something. Your Heavenly Father will never forget every time you've been over a desk to help a child figure out a pace, to figure out a problem, to understand a sentence. And I hope this morning that the Holy Ghost will just comfort you, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. One of the things that God puts in my heart as a preacher is, it's like, Reggie, I want you to stand for me. I don't want you to be afraid to say what needs to be said, Reggie. I want you to stand for me. Having done all, stand. Having your loins girt about with truth. I want to do what I can for Christ. I would encourage you today that you would make Christ the center of your whole life. That's one of the first things you could do for him today, to honor him and say, Christ, you will have preeminence. You will rule. You will be king of my heart. Then if you're married, I'd encourage you to say, Lord, you're going to be the Lord of our marriage. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Wherever you work, I'd encourage you to, however you can, exalt him. If it's just by your conduct, just by your attitude, whatever way it may be, exalt him in your work, in your business. Look around, examine your business, the work that you do, and say, how can I exalt Christ here? What is not exalting Christ here? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Then we can just live for him. Live for him. Every moment of every day. And when we've sinned, get it right. That's what you can do for him. When you sin, say, God, I sinned. I'm sorry. Oh, I think that pleases the Lord. I believe he likes that a lot better than all pompous walking around acting like we ain't never done anything wrong. I think he likes an humble heart. He said he'd get near to that person. What dignity and honor hath been done? That's the question today. With our heads bowed this morning, I'd just like for you to come. If you're here this morning and you realize what, like Ahasuerus did, what he's done for me. Lord, what have you done for me? And you realize what Christ has done for you. And you'd like to say what that old king said, what hath been done, what dignity and what honor hath been done for saving me. I'd like for you this morning to, if the Holy Ghost has prompted your heart, and you'd like to step out and say, Lord, I want to first of all thank you for what you've done for me. God, I forget so often. Satan gets my eyes off of what you've done for me. And I want to be like that old wicked king that God saved. I want to say, Lord, I want to do something for you. I want to give you dignity and honor in my life. If you want to come, you just step out and say, Lord, I want to thank you for what you've done. And God, I want to do something for you. What can I do? Would you come? Do some business with Almighty God today. He loves you. He gave his son for you. If you're here and you're not saved, if you're listening and you're not saved, listen, let me tell you something. He saved you from hell. He can save you from hell. He died in your place. He paid for your sin. He paid all of it. And he can save you if you call upon him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner today. God will save you. He'll give you eternal life. And I'm telling you right now, he'll change the direction. And like that song said, if you'll give him what's left of your life, God will give it back to you, but in so much richer ways. I look back at my life up to 28 years of old age. And I'm telling you, at 28 years of age, I gave God the filth of my life. But God has given me back so hundredsfold, hundreds and hundreds of fold. And I tremble to think where my family would be today had not God opened my eyes and shown me what Jesus did for me. Oh, I pray today. I pray in this church, in our hearts, in our homes, in our families, that we'll always have this attitude of what God hath done for me, what God has done for me, what dignity and honor can I do for him? Oh, God, help us to exalt you today. Help us, oh God, to exalt you, to lift you up in our lives. Lord, to lead you upon your exalted position throughout the trail of our life. May God, oh, may people see Jesus in our life. God, I pray today, bless these people who have come. Hear the cry of their heart. Lord, show them, enable them, Lord, to do what they can do, to honor and to glorify and to dignify the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle of this old corrupt world. Lord, I want to thank you that if we lose our life for Jesus' sake, we'll find it. Lord, there are people listening to me today. They're losing their life. Some of them don't even realize it yet, but they're losing their life. God, I pray today, this wonderful, wonderful truth, that if we will lose our life for Jesus' sake, you will make us to find it. Oh, God, I thank you through my failures and my sin and my wretchedness and my unfaithfulness and everything else that God, you have caused me to find my life in Christ. Oh, Lord, that's worth more than all the gold in the United States this morning. It's worth more than all the land. God, it's worth more than all the acclaim and applause of men. God, you give us a reason for living. Now, God, I pray today that this church will do collectively what Ahasuerus did individually. God, that we'll look back at the cross and remember what Jesus did for us. God, we'll go out of this building every week and we'll say, oh, God, help me to lift the Lord Jesus up, to exalt him and to dignify him and give him honor in our lives. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We'll praise you, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord, for this special service today. Thank you for Brother Mitchell coming by and encouraging us. I want to thank you for these people and their faithfulness to the house of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done for us. We bless your holy name today in Jesus' name. Amen.